Chapter 8. Lunch hour, 11:30 to 1:30 at the Silver Dome, was packed. The merchants all filed out of their stores around the square and dutifully reported to the large dining room, where they would join their usual lunch bunch. It was duck season and football season, so first they all swapped tales about who got his limit and whether Ducks Unlimited was going to have a record annual meeting/dinner in the basement of the Red Bird Inn. Then came football. Although the state was Illinois and the Chicago Bears ruled upstate, Orbit was downstate, and all hope and attention was focused on the season of the St. Louis Rams and their record. Would they at long last return to the playoffs? And what of Jeff Gentry, their great quarterback out of Syracuse? Would he play after being knocked unconscious and carried off the field last Sunday? Once football and ducks were settled, the merchants compared notes on sales so far this day to sales from a year ago, 5 years ago, and even 10 years ago. It was true, many of the merchants kept journals detailing sales as far back as when they had first acquired their businesses, from Junior Grant at Grant's Pen and Pencil Office Store to Rich Tattiger at Schnitzel's Shoes. The grand record keeper of them all, whose records, thanks in part to his predecessor father, went all the way back to 1976. Shoe sales were pegged to climatic changes, and Rich could tell you what would happen with waterproofs and high tops when the temperatures plunged, as well as what would happen with Nikes and Adidas when basketball season rolled around. True, he wasn't prescient, but he was a great judge of the customer's spending habits. As plates were ferried out of the kitchen by the waitstaff, and as earnest eating began, Junior Grant suddenly, in a buckle in the conversation, said loudly,
"Say, I hear Thaddeus Murphy sued Vic Harrell this morning. They say Vic really got his foot stuck in the mud this time."
"It wasn't Thaddeus who sued,"
one of the minor clerks from the clerk's office replied.
"It was Ermeline Ransom, who is being represented by Thaddeus. She's the real plaintiff, not Thaddeus."
What's the allegation?"
a school administrator asked. He was in town to visit with the superintendent of schools for Hickman County, something about a pregnant class president.
"Thaddeus claims Victor carved his name in the girl's chest."
"What? Come again?"
The lesser clerk dabbed a paper napkin at the corners of her mouth.
"The complaint alleges that Victor carved his name in Ermeline's breast and then inked it in."
"Is it permanent?"
Rich Tattinger asked. It had been a slow morning in the shoe industry. At last, something, some bit of gossip, had piqued his interest. This was sizing up to be good.
"Geez, wonder what Betty Ann Harrow's thinking."
"Never mind what his wife's thinking. What in the hell was he thinking?"
Attorney Bud Leininger banged inside late from court and motioned a visitor to slide around in Bud's booth. Bud waited while the man moved his plate and iced tea, then lowered his bulk in beside him.
"I just read the entire complaint, front to back. It's outrageous,"
he announced in his inherited voice, booming and piercing.
"Thaddeus Murphy better hope to hell his own legal malpractice insurance is paid up."
"You Vic's lawyer?"
someone asked Bud.
"Not yet. Probably won't be. I have a conflict of interest."
Bud would never admit it would be Bill Johansson III who would catch this gold ring. In order to keep face, Bud would beg off with a claimed conflict of interest, just to make people think that. While he had been asked to intervene, the ethics of law prevented him. He made a long face and scowled at the inquisitive looks around him. Victor Harrow clearly needed his keen help and steel-trap legal mind, but legal ethics held him at bay. He wasn't happy about it one damn bit, either. He let everyone within earshot know.
"What's the lawsuit after, Bud?"
$10 million.
Bud answered after he quickly let Cece know he would have the roast hen with new potatoes and creamed spinach. Coffee, bring the pot, hold the cream, doctor's orders. "Wait," he explained to his audience, and patted his sizable girth.
$10 million in attorney's fees of $1 million.
"Damnation,"
George Bingham cried. George was the owner of H&M Furniture, home of No Tricky Financing. He remembered, for one, how it felt to be sued. It had happened to him after he had buried his ping putter in another golfer's head. The Hickman press had even sarcastically ranted that George had failed to count the cranium stroke on his scorecard. Bud had defended that case. It had been settled for an undisclosed amount, the court record sealed, but Quentin Irwin, who once again refused to prosecute because it occurred on private land, the Red Apple Country Club, he knew the amount and let everyone know. George had had to mortgage both his house and the H&M furniture store to pay for the pleasure of creasing another golfer's skull.
"You should know, George,"
someone muttered quite loudly, then ducked his head. Al Petty, owner of the Hickman Press, gravely asked Bud,
"What's the legal theory of the case?"
"Well, there's several legal theories, Albert," said Bud,
who was slowly stirring two sugars into his steaming coffee. Count One claims there was a breach of legal duty to provide a social invitee with a safe place to visit.
That would mean Ermeline was on Victor's property?
Someone asked.
It does. Ermeline was alleged to be visiting Victor at the office. The bus.
Catcalls rang out and some whistling. Someone shouted.
What time of night was that?
Actually, it was at night, Bud continued. If you believe the complaint, which I don't, Victor wouldn't have Ermeline to his office at night, not in a million years. Happily married, deacon at First Christian, Silver Star.
Yeah, we all know that, Bud,
the school administrator interrupted.
But what is the allegation?
Simple, that she was there at the trailer after 10 at night and Victor drugged her.
This last portion was said almost under his breath as Bud shoved a partial chicken breast in his mouth. He licked his fingers and nodded approvingly.
Just fine, Cece, he called toward the lunch counter,
where Cece was busily pouring water for new customers.
Highly recommend the hen, everyone.
Al Petty stuffed a good pinch of Prince Albert into his pipe. Neither Hickman County nor the city of Orbit had seen fit to outlaw smoking in local restaurants. He who would object to another's smoke was always soundly booed. It was a free country, and even if someone else's smoke was blinding you and ruining your meal, by damn they had the right to smoke. This was Lincoln country. One man, one vote, and all that. He flipped a silver Zippo with a Marine Corps emblem on its case.
So you've told us failure to provide safe premises. What other legal theories are alleged?
Hell, Al, Bud said, through a mouthful of new potatoes. Why don't you stop by the clerk's office and run off a copy? You're going to make front-page news out of this anyway.
Bud stuck up for his friend and sometime client, Vicaro, but he was also sounding slightly miffed, knowing that in the Thursday edition of the press, his own name wouldn't be mentioned because Victor would never hire him for such desirable work. Bud got many of Victor's contracts and employment disputes to handle, but the big stuff was always just out of reach, much to his utter dejection.
I already have a copy, Bud, Al retorted. I'm just gauging audience reaction here. It will be a novel case for a jury made up of these and other local people.
Bud didn't respond, but appeared furiously engaged with slicing up the chicken's opposite breast into bite-sized chunks.
Any pictures attached?
To the complaint? The minor clerk said. No pictures. Those will probably only be seen by the jury, and then they'll be sealed.
What the hell does her chest look like? Was it her boobs or just her chest?
Boobs,
Bud suddenly erupted.
Someone is alleged to have engraved her breasts!
There was a serious moment of reflection at this. Who in their right mind could do such a thing to Ermeline Ransom? This called for some serious debate and much more investigation and answers than what they had so far. Perhaps Thaddeus was right then. Perhaps the case was worth $10 million.
Does Victor have $10 million?
Junior Grant wondered out loud.
Could he even pay a huge judgment?
That was smart,
Bud said, using the shortened version of Thaddeus's name to indicate there existed an intimacy between him and the young and almost surprisingly aggressive lawyer.
That alleged negligence in count one, which gets Vic's insurance company in the game. Now it's got skin, so there's insurance money to be tagged. So Vic isn't hanging out all alone. Dad will want policy limits, not a dime less.
Well, who'll Vic hire? Bill Johansson in Polk County?
Bud chewed thoughtfully.
It's the insurance company's call, which lawyer gets hired to defend Vic. But yeah, probably Johansson.
He wins everything he touches. Never lost here in Hickman County, has he?
The minor clerk agreed.
Never lost here, so far anyway.
Maybe this is his first.
But what about Thaddeus? Is he experienced enough for this? Isn't he still learning how to patty cake?
Pretty much, Bud opined. But it doesn't take a legal genius to win this case. If, and that's a huge if, the facts as alleged are true.
Damnation. Amen. Can they get the writing removed?
Dermabrasion, the school administrator suggested.
Well, sure,
some woman said, whose own face had been recently peeled.
But that only gets the derma, the outer layer of skin. If the ink is actually inside the skin, they won't be able to get it out. Poor thing. Give her $20 million. At least.
Cece said as she rushed by with coffee in one hand and three waters in the other.
At least $20 million for that kind of assault. She works here. She's a great girl, and she's got a kid.
Is her ex still coming around? Is that why she was out at Vic's, romancing?
It was purely business,
Bud said.
Ah, sure, like she was hiring Vic to build a new freeway for her. Bull crap.
At that moment, Sheriff Charlie Ultiman and two deputies entered. All eyes followed him and his crew as they waited for a table to be cleared. Once they were seated, pandemonium erupted. Everyone wanted to know, would Victor Harrell be prosecuted? Had he been arrested? Would Quentin Irwin Jr. file criminal charges? Was there any truth to all this? Had the sheriff gone to the premises and retrieved any evidence? Was there anyone else there when this allegedly occurred? Had Victor given a statement? Where was Victor right now? He usually joined the crowd for lunch. But not today. When the entire clamor died down, Sheriff Ultiman held up a hand.
There will be a press conference at noon tomorrow, courthouse steps. Until then, nothing more I can say.
Groans from the crowd. Publisher Al Petty pulled out his iPhone and entered a reminder on his calendar. He was relieved. The sheriff had wisely called the press conference in time for the results of his investigation to make it into the Thursday paper. Smart move. But that's why he had been elected to 5 4-year terms. Smart, indeed.